Welcome to the Mother Days podcast. I am Sarah Wright Olson.
And I'm Teresa Palmer. Hi, daisies. We always laugh because we never know who's going to take the first bit. So I was pointing at her and she was waiting for me to go. And I was like, you go.
No, it froze. You froze.
Oh, I froze.
Yeah, yeah. You froze. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to start it. And then maybe it'll unfreeze by the time I'm done saying hello, hello.
Oh, my gosh. Well, before we get into what we're talking about today, we just want to do a big shout out to everyone who turned up at the two-day event we had in San Francisco. It was an event that we did with Broad Ideas podcast, also with Frida Salvador. And Sarah and I are on a bloody high. It was the most amazing 2 days and just like so good for the soul, so inspiring. We met incredible people. So if you are listening and you are one of the daisies that we met, thank you so much for your generosity and your love. And people even brought us gifts. And it was just incredible.
It was so sweet. It really was. And if you didn't have a chance to go, we are going to do more of them. And we're figuring out that right now. So we're so excited to be able to do more and to see all of you guys.
Yeah.
So yay. And should we jump right in?
I think we should jump right in.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
We have a doozy for you.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be pretty surprised. I know you've already seen the heading. You've already seen the heading of this episode. So you're going to be like, what the hell? So I was keeping a little something from you guys. For the past almost 3 months, I've had a little secret, a little surprise secret. And I even kept it from Sarah for 9.5 weeks. But anyway, I was pregnant. I am no longer pregnant. I was pregnant. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that experience now. First of all, I'm feeling really good and able to talk about this openly. And also I want to just put a disclaimer out there. I happen to like be just in a really good spiritual headspace. So my response to this pregnancy loss, it is not probably the typical response. I did certainly grieve my experience, but I just have like a unique perspective on it. So I'm going to jump right in and talk to you about how it all began and how it ended. So do you guys remember that episode where I was talking about the crazy birthday party?
Oh my God. I was wondering if you were going to take us back to that moment.
And it was an insane sleepover birthday party. Anyway, at some point during the night, I got woken up to like my husband being like, hello, baby. And I was like, okay. So we ended up shebanging. And it's so funny. We actually only had sex twice that month. And because we've been actively avoiding getting pregnant and we were traveling a lot and whatever. And it was literally only twice that month. So when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, well, I know it's either this night or this night. So the two options were Bodhi's birthday party night or the night that poet crawled into our bed midway through and she was like, it was sounding like you were having a baby. So I was like, pick which one, I don't know. Anyway, so I'd been using this Aura ring, which Sarah uses as well. And it tracks your natural cycles and it tracks your temperature. And that was what I was using really as my birth control. As I think you also heard the episode where my husband's not very good at doing the whole pull-out method. So I thought I would try and be responsible and get this Aura ring. And I paid for this thing called Natural Cycles. And it tells you when you're fertile and when you're not. So we thought like we did it the right way. But every now and then we kind of just do like a little bit of Russian roulette, like whatever, like woo, we'll just go for it. And the day that I obviously got pregnant, well, I don't know for sure, but it was either cycle day 8 or cycle day 12. And it was such a shock. So as you know, I really want to have a fifth baby. I want a fifth and a sixth baby. And I've been talking about for so long, I want to call in twins. Like, oh, I think I'm going to do it probably, you know, at the end of the year. I was sort of thinking like July, and then I was like, October. I just want to get one more gig under my belt and then get pregnant. So that was always the plan. But the plan was to do IVF. I froze my eggs when I was 31 years old and Mark and I were like, right, we're going to do that. We have high risk pregnancies. We're going to just use the eggs and see if we can make embryos, and we'll do that at the end of the year and put two embryos in. That was always a plan until this little pivot. We landed in LA and we found out we were pregnant. I think it was March the 1st.
You literally landed and then you, what?
Yes, yes. So I landed, yeah. We were unpacking the suitcases and this pregnancy test sort of flew out, like flung out while I opened my suitcase. It was March the 3rd. So I was like, oh, that's weird. It just sort of flung out in front of me. So I grabbed it. It was 12 DPO, like it would have been around 12 days past ovulation. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I doubt it. There's no way, right? I was following the Aura ring. Like I'm not, there's no way. So I ended up peeing on the stick and immediately dark, like a die stealer, so dark, like a, I mean, no doubt about it, was not a squinter. I'm telling you, the darkest of shit you've ever seen. I was like, oh my God. And so I started filming myself and I was like, uh-oh. And I'm like, I could feel like just this feeling coming over me. And I ran downstairs while still filming and I ran into Bodhi and I was like, Bodhi, oh my God. I hand him the pregnancy test and he was like, and I was like, shh, don't say anything. And he was like, You're pregnant. And he's doing like
he was so excited.
He had his hand over his mouth. I'm going to post the video. And he was like doing the like shape of a belly. He was like, pregnant? And I'm like, yes. Oh, we've got to go tell Dad quick. Go tell Dad you found this or something. So then I film him going down the stairs to Mark and Bodhi's like, Dad, I found this on the floor, and then hands it to Mark. And Mark's like, no, you didn't. And he's looking at it.
No, you didn't.
And then looking at me, and then looking at Bodhi, and then looking at the pregnancy test. And then he just keeps saying to me, it doesn't even make sense. Like he just repeats a few times, no, you didn't. And then like a minute later, no, you didn't. And with this wide eyes, like sheet white face, I'm like, babe, yup, I just tested right now. Oh my God, I have adrenaline pulsing through. All the kids are like, wait, you're pregnant? And then Bodhi's like jumping up and down, like, Prairie, you're going to be a big sister. And everyone was like so cute. And Forrest read it. He was like, it says pregnant. And I was like, yes. So I kind of was like floating on this wild cloud of excitement that night. And I knew that Sarah was testing right around the same time for our shared 11-11 baby. So I was like, I'm going to wait.
Do you guys remember that? We kept seeing 11-11, 11-11 everywhere.
11-11.
And we kept talking about it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And this baby was due on 11-11. And I was like, oh my God, Sarah's going to be pregnant too. And we're both going to have babies on 11-11. Oh my God, this is the craziest shit in the world. Anyway, so then like the next day or two, Sarah was like, oh damn, I got my period. And I was like, okay, well, I know what I'll do. I'm going to not tell her. I'm going to wait till next month. If she's pregnant then, I had this like whole big plan of having when her, like I was like, you, me, Eric and Mark should all go on the podcast together. And yeah, like you and Eric are going to announce like that you're pregnant. And then at the end, I was going to have Mark at the very end of the episode, Mark be like, oh, you know what's so cool? That means that our babies are only 4 weeks apart. And then you guys would have been like, what? Because Sarah knew that I was not trying. I was not.
Not at all. Yeah.
Expecting this. This was like a massive surprise. So that would have been a huge surprise for them. Huge. And Mark and I were like really pumped about it. We're like, this is how we're going to do it. Anyway, so we kept this like a secret. I told a couple of my best friends back in Australia. And sort of like, I think it really sunk in. I'd say like a week and a half later, it really sunk in. And I went and got my HCG numbers done immediately because this is what I do. So I think I tested on a Saturday, went to the doctors on a Monday, got my HCG results back. And they were through the roof. They were so high. It was like 1,280 or something. And I was like, oh my God, it's twins. And then I went back like 2 days later, got them tested again, and they had just like quadrupled. And so
how many times did you Google high HCG
every night
equals twins?
I was on the bloody, I like immediately went and like signed up to be a part of the what to expect when expecting like the November 2024 group, and was like, what's everyone's HCG numbers? Like was like deep in the forum every night, getting so excited. Like, oh my God, convinced this was twins. I was like, I've manifested these twins. This is when they wanted to come in. Meanwhile, I had the Oscar parties like all that weekend. And
oh my God.
My biggest like worry about this was, what is my US team going to think? They're going to be so mortified. You know, I'm supposed to be working. I promised them I'd be here and I'd be working and doing films and TV this year. Like I was like, this is just enough to like, you know, I was very nervous that I would like get dropped by my agency or get in a fight with my reps or something, which, you know, in hindsight, they're such beautiful people and I know that they would have been really supportive. However, I still sat with this kind of weird limbo feeling. I was at these parties. I even, one of my agents was like trying to get me drinks at these parties. And I had to keep whispering to the bartender, like, make it a virgin, make it a virgin. And he's like, what? And I was like, no alcohol, but make it look like there's alcohol. So then I'm just holding this secret at these parties. Like in full work mode, next 2 days I'm going into CAA, my agency, and my agent's like, oh, Teresa's here. She's back from Australia. She's not pregnant. And everyone's like, woo. And here I am like on the inside, like dying. Like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Oh my God,
oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I know, like, oh my freaking God. And then, you know, we were still getting HCG numbers back because I would go in and get my blood tested because I have, as everyone knows, I have high risk pregnancies. I have isoimmunization pregnancies, which is because Mark has this blood thing, blah, blah, blah. Long story. I can talk about it more later. But I had to be a little bit more monitored through my bloods. And my HCG came back and it was really high again. And I was like, it's freaking triplets. Like, this is triplets at this point. Like, oh my God, there's going to be three babies. And I'm just on a high. I'm just bloody feeling it. I'm like every night touching my belly and also getting really excited to kind of share the news with more and more people. And I basically like just kind of rode the waves. I recorded a lot of podcasts, pregnant, where where Sarah didn't know, but I knew. The next month, Sarah, as she shared, she had a chemical pregnancy. So initially it seemed like she was pregnant. And then, as you know, the line got lighter instead of darker. And at that point, I was like, just about to be 9 weeks or something. And I said to Mark, I have to tell her. She's spending 2 days at my house, back to back, 2 full days. And I was like, I'm going to tell her. And while Sarah was at my house, we had the best day. The kids were just playing, connecting. We were just like dreaming up like all these things. We're talking about the podcast.
All of our dreams.
All of our dreams. We were just like, high vibes, had the best time together. And we were really talking about babies and future babies. And she actually asked me, I don't know if you remember this, you're like, so you still thinking like end of the year? Or, and I was like, ugh, like completely dying. And I ran upstairs to see Mark, who was cooking. And I was like, I have to tell her. I'm going to go downstairs and tell her right now. And he was like, no, don't. I'm not ready. I don't know. No, you can't. And I was like, I am telling her tomorrow because I knew she was coming back. And he was like, if you really feel like you have to tell her tomorrow, then we will. So I decided to tell her, and it was awesome. But also I had been feeling just like funny for some reason about telling Sarah, because I know she's been through losses and she's been trying to get pregnant, and this kind of happened as a surprise for us. And I was also sensitive about it. I was feeling really sensitive about it, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And I told her, I don't think I've ever seen a more shocked face in my entire life.
I was like, immediately, okay, so she goes like, I really need to like tell you something. And like, you know, I was going to wait and like tell you on the podcast. And I was like, what is she telling me? Like, I just like couldn't even figure out.
Remember a sponsor? Remember?
Oh, I thought it was like about a sponsor for like our event. So I was like, oh, it must be something about that. And then she lifts her shirt and like points to her belly. And I was like, what? And then she was just like gestured at her stomach again. And I was like, what?
That's exactly what like, she did.
Completely in shock, crying, like so happy, but also just like shocked. I couldn't, but I think shocked, completely shocked.
And I was like, I think I was also like, remember, I kind of turned away from you to say it. I was like, oh, it was weird. It was kind of sheepish, but like, it was like, so thank God I could finally fucking tell you. And I'd been holding on to it. And then I had also considered maybe waiting for the following month, which obviously is this month. And, you know, you're not pregnant this month. And I was like, imagine if I had fucking waited? And so I just decided like, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to tell her. And then I can just be more myself, and I can just like bloody be free.
Oh, it was amazing, because then we got to talk all about everything. It was like timeline, babies, how far apart would they be if I got pregnant soon? Like, it was just so amazing.
It was so amazing. And then I got to have someone to like be excited with me. And so here are some interesting things that I have to say about this pregnancy. Like, we went in after the HCG levels were really high. The doctor's like, you know, I've had a history of molar pregnancies, which also yields very high HCG. And so I said to Dr. Guile, who Sarah and I both use now, I was like, can I come in for quite an early heartbeat scan just to rule out molar pregnancy? And he's like, yeah, sure, come in. So we go in and we have this perfect scan, and it's beautiful, and the baby looks great, and it's only one baby. And I legitimately, and it sounds so like strange to say this, but I was very taken aback that it was one baby. Like, I have always thought my next baby were going to be babies. I always just was like, we're having twins next. Like, that's how we're doing it. So I was really shocked. I could not believe it. The HCG numbers, everything, all the manifesting. I was like, I am Like, I'm genuinely shocked. And I was like, can you keep looking around? Because I swear there's got to be another one in here. And the woman's like, no, no, there's definitely just one. And I was like, and how's the heartbeat? And it was 141 beats per minute. We saw the baby was tracking a week ahead, which was really exciting. So instead of being like 6+4, I was actually 7+4. And then I had been feeling quite nauseous, like more nauseous, I think, than any of the other pregnancies. And obviously I chalked that up to the HCG being so elevated. And I kind of was like that typical thing for me in pregnancy where I'm a little bit off my food. It just doesn't taste great. I don't enjoy food as much when I'm pregnant. I'm still eating it, but I'm like, it's not that great. I usually am a massive foodie and I love food so much, but I was just kind of eating because I should eat. And I didn't have any cravings or anything, but a few weird things happened. So my progesterone in that first blood test, it came back at 20. And so he was like, I feel good about this. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I know this is slightly borderline. So then the next time I went back, it had dropped down to 17.9. And so I said to the doctor, I think I should go on progesterone. And he was like, yeah, let's get some progesterone. So I went and got some progesterone and I was taking it. And I took it up until about 8 weeks. And then for whatever reason, I stopped taking it. I do not freaking know why. I just kind of forgot. It was like away. I kind of was like, my placenta is probably making enough progesterone now. Like, I'm sure it's fine. And I was also doing Vlogs. I started doing pregnancy Vlogs. I've got a week 4, week 5, week 6. And then I stopped. I stopped doing Vlogs and I kept being like, oh my God, I'm already bloody 9 weeks. Like I need to go back. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to do like a 7, 8, 9 together Vlog. And then I kept meaning to do it and I just didn't get around to doing it. And then, as you know, we went away to Lake Arrowhead and I was like, in sort of a weird funk. And I now feel like I intuitively knew something was up. But right before we went away, I was just kind of in this weird funk and I was like, I just got to get out of here. Something just feels yuck. And I have been staying in these Airbnbs and with friends because I told you that my TV show pushed back, the dates pushed, which meant it didn't line up perfectly the way it was meant to line up perfectly with our One Fine Stay renter who's currently in our house. So it meant that I've got to cover kind of 3.5 weeks before we were going to Australia. So I was kind of jumping around from Airbnb to Airbnb. We're in Lake Arrowhead. I had this beautiful experience. And Mark, I feel like I've never been so happy there. And I talked about how happy I was. And Mark took a photo of me out in the sun with my big belly. My belly got big really fast. And he took a photo and I feel like that was the turning point for him, was he just got so excited. And he was like, I love our life. I love that we're bringing a new life in. This is meant to be, this baby's meant to be here. He just like got really on board. And I think it was harder for him to connect because it just obviously was a surprise and not really in our plan yet. And also it's happening to me. My body's changing. I'm the one feeling these things. I'm like holding my tummy and talking to the baby at nighttime. Like he's not so involved in that. And it really like took until that point for him to be like, wow, I'm excited. I'm so ready for this baby. So I was having these kind of weird feelings. I'm not sure about what. It was just like a deep, unsettled feeling. And I thought it was to do with like Bodhi and the kids and how Bodhi had that experience at school. And
yeah.
I was like, I just need to get out. I just want to kind of not be staying with people. I want to have our own space. And anyway, we ended up leaving Lake Arrowhead and I had an appointment with my midwife, Abby Vitikin, who we've had on the podcast before. And I drove straight from Lake Arrowhead straight to her office, so like 2 hours in the car. And I got dropped off. Mark dropped me and the girls off. And we went in there and I got my NIPT blood test done because I was now 10 and a half weeks. And she was like, hey, should we listen to the baby? And I was like, oh, like with a Doppler, like over the top Doppler. And Sarah and I have both had the like Sonalign B Dopplers before. And I always knew that I couldn't get a heartbeat until like 11 or 12 weeks at the very earliest. So I said to her, I don't think you're going to hear anything though, right? Like, isn't it too early to hear anything? And she was like, well, no, actually I hear it a lot of the time. I hear the heartbeat at this far along. I was like, okay, cool. Like, let's go for it. So we waited. And she was rubbing it around and rubbing it around. And she did it for about 5 minutes. And the girls were like waiting to hear the heartbeat. They were like, you know, like sitting up there next to me. And she kept saying to the girls, where do you think the heartbeat is? Like, you point to mommy's tummy. And she was moving it around and stuff. And I started having this sinking feeling, but I didn't panic. It was just this like feeling where I was like, ugh. That's obviously not what you hope for from your first like midwife appointment, to like go and not be able to hear a heartbeat. So then I was like, oh, okay, it doesn't matter. My self-preservation kicked in, like, oh, it's all good. Like, obviously just can't find baby at the moment. And Abby was like, you know what? I think because it's your like fifth baby, your womb is so big and roomy that like it's hiding. That little tiny thing is hiding somewhere. And I was like, yeah, you're totally right.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting get easier, like you're not waking up, you know, multiple times a night to change diapers, and you can actually reason with them once they can talk. Others don't, like having that conversation about money. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. That's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids, keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. This is something that my kids were so excited about. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family's needs and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. And in our family, we have a thing where we give, save, and spend. And so one of my kids unloads the dishwasher and one of them vacuums and the other one cleans up the toys. And it's so awesome. It makes us feel like we're all a part of this community working together to keep our household organized and to teach kids to connect hard work with financial independence. Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/motherdays.
I got in the car with Mark. I told Mark and he was like, oh my God, don't worry about it. It's fine. Like, you're so far along. Like, we saw the heartbeat. Everything's cool. And I was like, yeah, totally. I don't know. I just have a weird feeling though, babe. And he was like, oh my gosh, you're fine. It's all good. And I kind of wanted to go straight to get a scan from that point, but I stopped myself from doing it. I was like, oh, come on, I'll just go tomorrow. But I started like Googling how I could pick up a Sonalign B ultrasound kit myself. Like, where do I go to buy one now? And I started like having these obsessive thoughts over it. And we're staying at our friend's house with like a blow up mattress next to the bed with the kids. And we're in their bedroom. And I just like didn't, I could not sleep that night at all. I just was like up thinking about it. And then I remembered that about 4 weeks earlier, I'd had a dream that the baby didn't have a heartbeat at one of the scans. But then all my other dreams were about like having this little baby. And we thought it was a girl. Winter thought it was a girl. Winter, little psychic baby, came up to Belly and she was like, it's a girl. Like straight away, she had said that when Winter saw the belly. And I was like, all right, I think I'm bugging out majorly. And I woke Mark up at like 2 a.m. I was like, I'm having a panic. I think there's something wrong. I feel like the life is out of my stomach. Like I can lie on my tummy and I haven't been able to. My tummy got so big so fast. And I was like, I just feel like something is weird. It's like the life has left me. And Mark was just sort of like trying to console me and I could not sleep. And I begged my Nana, who you guys know I have a relationship with on the other side. I was like, Nana, please like tell me one way or the other. I just need to know. And I think I eventually managed to get an hour or two sleep and I woke up in the morning with this like knowing feeling. I just knew. And I think it was like my Nana obviously came in through my dreams. I couldn't remember what my dreams were, but I woke up and I was like, this baby's no longer here. I just like knew it. And Sarah, do you remember when I texted you and I was like, yeah, it was weird. I had this thing with Abby. She couldn't find the heartbeat. And Sarah's like, well, let me know how the scan goes. Like we were very casual about it. It was very like, that didn't correlate to your baby's dead. I mean, there's so many experiences where you can't find the heartbeat on the Doppler and then you go and get a scan and the baby's perfectly fine. And I'd written on my like forum what had happened and everyone was like, oh my gosh, like 30 people responded being like, oh my gosh, the same thing happened to me. I went and got a scan, baby was happy and fine. And I just was not able to find solace in any of it. And so I like just intuitively was like, right, this is, I think I'm going to find out that my baby's dead today. And we had two podcasts to do. And I purposely chose not to go and do the scan until after we recorded those podcasts because I had a feeling it was going to be bad news and I didn't want to get the bad news and have to go into podcasts like being myself with people. So as soon as we finished the podcast, I drove straight to the scan place with the girls. Mark was like, let me know how you go. I got out of the car, I walked up and I was like, I just had this feeling. And I just remember it now. I walked up there. It was again like such self-preservation. And I saw this other couple in there and the woman had such a big belly. And I was looking at her and I was thinking, oh, she's finding out like the gender. And I knew I was going in to confirm that I had a dead baby inside of me. I knew it. I just like walked up to the woman. She smiled at me and said, congratulations. And I was like, I'll talk to you about it when we get in the room. And she was like, okay, well, do you want to just come back with me now? And I was like, yeah. I sat the girls down. I gave them a show because I didn't want them to see it. So, and I just like, again, like I didn't have confirmation apart from the feeling in my heart. I just knew. And I remember just lying there and I just felt so out of my body because I knew what I was about to see or not see. And I saw this baby that had grown so much since the last scan. And I could see its little eye sockets, you know, you can see the face and I could see it immediately. But the first thing obviously I'm looking for are the chambers moving. And I've seen these so many times, I've been pregnant so many times. It was completely still. There were no chambers. And I had warned her before. I said, you know, I'm almost sure my baby's dead. And the moment she put it on, it felt really cold. Everything felt really cold. And there was just nothing there. The baby was there. It was totally still. I could see its little arms and its little legs and its body. And I was so like, I asked her to measure it so that I knew at what point it had died. And it passed away, I think, just before 10 weeks. So when I was in Lake Arrowhead, like having this like incredibly elated experience. And she was like, I'm so sorry, you're right. Like there's nothing here. There's no cardiac activity. And, you know, but you've got four beautiful, amazing, healthy babies. And I was like, you're right. And this is still really sad because it's that expectation of this new life and all these things. But so I walked out like very stoic, just kind of like, thank you, Paige. She still gave me this congratulations, you're pregnant kit. And she was like, oh, here's the formula. Here's the like, the little like this. It was so weird. I was like, why did she give it to me? And so the girls like all excitedly got it. And we got into the, oh, and as we were, I was strapping the girls in, I was like, I didn't cry or anything. It was nothing. Actually, this is maybe the first time I've cried about that particular moment. I strapped them in and I was like, hey girls, I just want to let you know that our baby didn't make it. Our baby isn't going to be with us. And our baby passed away. And Poet's like, the baby died? And I was like, yeah. It died. It died. And mummy's womb got to nurture this baby for as long as it needed. And it passed away. And we were so lucky we got to have this baby in mummy's tummy for the amount of weeks that we did. And I love the baby. And Poet was like, I love the baby, but I really want the baby to come. And I was like, I know, I know. And one day we're going to look back and we're going to have another little baby and we're going to remember this feeling and this moment. And I was like, you know, we need to call daddy and let daddy know. And so I called Mark and I just said, it's not good news. It's bad news, babe. I mean, I was so like flat with it. Yeah. And he burst into tears immediately and was just saying like, no, no, was just crying. And he was like much more emotional about it than I was. And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, I just had to get off the phone. Like had the girls, I got to get out of the car park. I got to get to my doctor's appointment. And, I was trying to call my doctor on the way there and Mark was texting me and whatever. And I just couldn't like focus on anything. I think I maybe left you a voice message or a text. I can't quite remember.
I texted you because I had this feeling as I was driving, like I knew you had gone in, but I just had this feeling like I needed to write you. And I just wrote you and said, hey, I'm just thinking about you. I know you're going in for the scan. You literally immediately wrote me back and was like, the baby didn't make it. And there's no heartbeat. And then I think I tried to call you, but you were going into Dr. Guile at that point.
That's right. And I just like, it's funny. I chose to do a scan with someone I didn't know because I felt like I would be able to handle hearing it from someone that I never have to see again and never have to get any sympathy from again. I wanted to find out that way rather than going into my doctor's office and finding out with like the softness of a doctor who's like,
I know.
Because
it does make you break more.
I know. Yeah. And Sarah, you told your experience about that too. And I was like, I want the news somewhere else. And then I can like collect myself. And I walked in and I went straight up. I didn't have an appointment. I walked straight up and was like, hi, I just want to let you know I've had a pregnancy loss and I need to get in and see Dr. Guile. And then they were immediately like so sympathetic. The eyes of everyone looked at me. It was just like that was the moment that I was like, I almost started crying. I kind of like bubbled up and I was like, I could feel the feelings coming. And I sort of like, I could feel my lip quivering and my voice shaking. And they were like, we'll get you in as soon as we can. And I go in and I have this beautiful ultrasound tech called Rain. And obviously that name means so much to me because Bodhi Rain, my first son, that's his name. And I was like, and Rain was so sweet to me. she like squeezed my shoulder and she brought us in and Dr. Guile came in and I just immediately just in full Teresa stoic mode. Like, hey, yep, guys, I just came from a scan. The baby's dead. I don't know what happened. No heartbeat.
Your soldier on mentality.
My soldier on. And they like put the – he's scared. He was like, all right, let me have a look. Let me just see. And, you know, in the back of my head, I was like, oh, could that woman have not – and I was like, no, I didn't see anything. I did not see a heart beating at all. And I wanted a visual and I couldn't see it. So they turned it away from me and they did it. And then he was like, yeah, all right, yeah. Okay, I'm not seeing, there's no cardiac activity here. It's, yes, yeah, sure, the baby has definitely passed away. And then I was like, all right. So what's the plan? Like, what do we do here? I'm obviously not bleeding, nothing. And I said, I know this is called a missed miscarriage, which is where the baby passes away in utero and, there's no bleeding, there's no cramping, there's no nothing, which is so cruel, by the way, especially like you've seen a heartbeat. I'm so close to like at that point, I've told so many bloody people. And then your body has no idea. It just, there's nothing, not an inkling that anything's happened. So he was like, that's exactly what it is. It's called a missed miscarriage. Because you're so far along, you're going to need a DNC. And I have had one of those before. And I know Sarah has had one as well. And I was like, yep, that sounds good. I had no intentions of trying to pass the baby naturally. I know some people take a pill and so, and I was just like, no, I just want the DNC. I want to move forward. I want to get to the grieving place and not have to worry about when this is going to happen. So this was like on, I think, a Friday. And he said I could have my DNC on the Monday. And then that turned into a whole rigmarole as well, because Sarah and I and Rachel and Olivia had our trip to San Francisco that following week on Thursday, Friday. And I knew I was getting on a plane on Thursday morning. And so I told him that and he was like, well, that means you're going to have the DNC. You'll just have to have it like Monday or Tuesday. I was like, okay, great. Went to the scheduler. By the time we connected, she was like, Tuesday, all right, Tuesday's going to be the day you get it done. Then it got pushed. It got pushed to Wednesday, but then it got pushed to Thursday. And I was like, wait. It can't be Thursday. I'm going to be in San Francisco. Wednesday was going to be problematic because it meant that I wasn't cleared to fly on Thursday. And then so I was like, all right, I'll wait till next week. I'll wait till Monday, the following week. And then, you know, the general consensus was that's when there's a risk of infection. It's not, it is really, he really didn't want me to do that. And he just didn't want me to be in this place where I could potentially cause more harm to my body. So he's like, you need to do it on Wednesday. That's your only, that's your only option at this point. So we were doing it on Wednesday. I knew I had to do a panel on Thursday. And so I called Sarah, who was just like on this journey with me, this scheduling, trying to figure it out. And Sarah, I was like, Sarah, I'm going to have to drive. So maybe Mark will just drive. And what did you do, Sarah?
I was like, no, that's not happening. I am driving to wherever you are staying, picking you up, and we're driving together. We're going to have a road trip. I'm going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go up to San Francisco. Well, first I told you we could cancel the whole thing, yeah, right? Because I was like, this has to be whatever like you need and what feels good for you. And then you were pretty adamant that you wanted to keep it going. So then I was like, okay, fine. Then we're just going to have Sonia, my amazing nanny and doula, was like, I'm going to make all kinds of snacks for you guys. And we were just going to do this road trip and go together.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And so now I'm going to just talk about sort of my process of grief and kind of in the whirlwind of those three or four days. you know, the first night it happened, my son Bodie was on camp. So I knew that he wasn't going to find out until he got back. And so I got home and Mark had picked up Forrest from school and told Forrest in the car. And then we FaceTimed and Forrest was crying when we FaceTimed. And that like totally ate me up. And then we got back to Tim and Tally's house and they're like best friends of ours. So it was so nice to be with them. But at the same time, what I really craved was like being alone. I did just want to like go into a cocoon and be able to feel my feelings. But it sort of like forced me to soldier on like, hey, I found out the baby didn't make it today. And Tally was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. And I was like, yeah, I know. Just, I guess it wasn't meant to be, you know, just that was kind of it. And just made dinner for the kids and got them to bed. And I lied with them in bed as they went to sleep. And as they were falling asleep, the girls fell asleep and then Forrest was just about asleep. And I just started like sobbing and holding my tummy, just like put my hands on my tummy. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I was starting to go through this blame thing where I was like, I hope you felt wanted. I hope you felt, you know, that loved and that we wanted you a part of our family. Like, I hope you could feel the excitement. I'm so sorry this happened to you. I'm so sorry you don't get to be Earthside with us and have all these adventures. And I don't get to kiss your little toes and your little face. And I'm just so sorry. And that, like, I just felt such grief for this little baby. Forrest heard me and woke up. And literally, this is like the most moving part. He grabbed my face with his hands and he just like nurtured me like I was his child. And he pulled my head into his chest and he stroked my hair and he wiped the tears off of my face. He was also crying and he just held me and cried with me and touched the belly. And we just cried together for about a full hour. We would sort of set each other off and he would just lie in my arms. And I have such a deep connection with Forrest. I have such a deep connection with all of my children, but his middle name's Sage, as you guys know, and he's such this wise little sage. And Mark was out. I'm not sure what, he wasn't in the room. So it was just like Forrest and I, and Forrest like nurturing me and like mothering me and letting me cry. And it was so beautiful. I could not believe it. And then the next morning I said to him, like, that was such a like a profound and like such a moving experience. And I want to say thank you so much for taking care of me, Forrest. And looking after me. And he was like, Mummy, all you do is look after me. You look after me all the time. And I wanted to look after you. And he didn't want to go to school. He was emotional. And anyway, Mark was like, you had such a good day at school yesterday. He didn't even want to come home that day. And now it's like he came home and then got this awful news. And then he decided to go to school in the end. And he had a really good day at school. And then Mark picked up Bodie and had to tell Bodie, and then Bodie hugged me and cried. And then, you know, I was kind of back into that mode. That next morning I hung out with Sarah and Olivia and Rachel, and we were going through just what we were going to do in San Francisco and kind of the figuring out what our run sheet was and what we were going to talk about. And I turned up like this cracked open, raw feeling person who had had that night before. And we all just had the best time together. We laughed. And the girls were saying, they were like, you're so present in this conversation. And I was like, it's so healing. It feels so healing to be in sisterhood and to be with like my best friend and these two women who are quickly becoming like a part of my best friendship group. And Rachel was sharing her experiences with loss, and Sarah was talking about her experiences, and we all just like sitting together talking about it in such an open and beautiful way. And I felt less alone, and I just like felt really hopeful, and it just like picked me up. That day was amazing. And then that night I slept really well and I was in a really good place. And then the following day I had sort of come to peace with it all and, you know, had stopped blaming myself. And then that night I was lying in bed and Sarah and I were talking about pregnancy stuff. And I was like showing, I was like jumping on her trying to conceive journey, like asking her so many questions about this, like show me the line, like, you know, flash a torch behind her, like, let's see. Like we were just sort of dissecting her pregnancy tests. And I was
which is, by the way, we know is very weird timing and weird everything. Timing.
But this whole weird thing has been weird timing. Like
I know.
We like Sarah going through loss and trying to conceive and then me conceiving in this way and then her like getting a chemical pregnancy and having like that loss and then me telling her and then me going through my loss right as she was thinking she was potentially pregnant again. I mean, it was like this whirlwind. I was like, these souls in, souls out, like what's going on? And then that night Mark had to work. He was out at an event. And I was again alone, which I think is what I need to be able to grieve properly. So he was out. The kids fell asleep. It was really quiet. And I was lying down in my bed and I just got hit with it. Like, and I said to Sarah, I went through all the stages of grief, like in one night, like over hours. And I started with like deep guilt, like why didn't I take my progesterone? I had low vitamin D. Why didn't I take my vitamin D supplements? Like why I wasn't on prenatals? Like why did I just like think that I could play Russian roulette or, you know, whatever, like be having sex like this with my husband unprotected and think I wasn't going to get pregnant. Like I should have at least been on prenatals in the off chance I did get pregnant. And I was like, I wasn't healthy enough. And because it wasn't the right time, like, you know, the ideal timing, I was so worried about what my agents were going to think. And that like really was at the forefront of my mind for a lot of this. And then, you know, was Mark even happy we had the baby? So I went from like guilt into blame. I started kind of blaming. Yeah. I was like getting angry at like not only myself, always mostly myself, but then I was like angry at Mark. And then I was angry at my like American team and the industry, like the film industry and how like, you know, pregnant women aren't embraced. I mean, I was going really big with it. I went really, really big. Yeah. And like the narrative that you can't do it all. And so then it went from like guilt into blame. I went to anger, like how I was so angry that this happens to people and that like there are so many women out there who can't even have one child and this happens to them. And I was like, it's not fair. And it wasn't even anger for myself. It was anger that this happens to people. And they're like, and also because I'm in deep in these threads and there are women who've been trying for years and years and years and years and years. And they're having pregnancy loss after pregnancy losses. And so I was angry. And then I started doubting. I went into this place of doubt, like doubting all the things, like doubting, you know, all the esoteric things, the spiritual things, like all of that. And then which is so crazy because I was like doubting manifesting. I was doubting like all the things Laurel and Jackson talks to us about. I was doubting my belief system. I was like, how can this happen and then get pulled away? Like, what's the universe trying to show me? And then I got to, after I got to doubt, I like got to a place of peace, like such profound peace. And it felt so amazing. And I like said goodbye to the baby again. And I was like, I love you. Thank you for coming. I'm so honored to have held you, and you, all you knew was nothing but love. Like for the time that you were alive, like you just knew love and excitement. I was so excited. I wanted this baby. I was excited about having this baby right before Christmas and what that meant. And I just was like, I finally got to that place of kind of acceptance and peace. And then I fell asleep. And that was kind of my last of it. Like that was, I purged everything out in like, I'd say 7 hours worth of crying and purging and just like, just emotional purge. Like, oh, it was like so heavy. And, but again, like a really sort of cathartic experience. Good for me, because my tendency is to soldier on, is to just like be so strong. And it's been my conditioning. Whenever things are hard, like I just figure it out. I just get through it. And I'm really glad that I was able to spend the time acknowledging those real feelings and emotions. And then I felt a lot lighter the next day. Now, the interesting thing was my NIPT results arrived that next day. And this was now the day before my scheduled DNC. And when we're in the scan with Dr. Guile, he had said to me, you know, maybe your titers had jumped up, which is my antibodies, which is the thing that happens to me because I, with every subsequent pregnancy, my antibodies get stronger and more potent. So with each pregnancy, it's riskier. And so with my last pregnancy, Prairie, my titers had started to jump up a fair bit, almost to critical level, but not quite. And at critical level, the baby in utero might need a blood transfusion, which they do through the belly button. But she didn't get to that place. So they say that with more pregnancies, the worse it gets. And so he was like, well, maybe they just jumped up so much. And I was like, I don't know, because my level was at zero the last couple of blood tests. So I can't imagine that's it. And he's like, Rain and him saw under the skin, they saw high drops. So they saw fluid under the skin of the baby. And they're like, that's interesting. And he was like, I'm not sure how healthy the baby was. And I was like, all right, because he saw these high drops. So the NIPT results come back from that blood test that I had. And it turns out, and I'm not exactly sure how to say this, but the baby had trisomy 21, which is Down syndrome. And I don't know if I've talked about this before on the podcast, but over the years, Mark and I have had very in-depth conversations about what we would do in a situation like this. And I am all about the baby comes to me, I'm meant to have that baby. And so if my baby has Down syndrome, my baby has Down syndrome and my kid has Down syndrome, and I'm going to love that baby just as much as all my other babies, and we're going to love on that baby, and he or she will be folded into our lives and we will make it work. And just what a blessing to have another child, right? So my perspective on that has always been, I was chosen to be the mother of a child with Down syndrome. That was always how I, that was my viewpoint. And Mark has always been very resistant to the idea of raising a child with any medical differences. He, you know, he's scarred from some experiences that he had growing up in his neighborhood, and, you know, their personal experiences that he had a hard time with. And so this has always been a conversation between us. So I know that had our pregnancy continued, we were facing like some very challenging, confronting conversations between him and I. And the decision got taken away from us. And how do I feel about that? I just am in full acceptance. Like, I just am accepting that this was not our choice to make. It was devastating to hear it. But at the same time, I was just really at that place after having that evening of grief. I just was like, all right, this wasn't meant to be. This baby wasn't meant to be with us. And like Sarah said previously in her pregnancy loss episode, I truly believe that this soul will return when they're ready. And maybe they'll bring
a friend.
Maybe they'll bring a friend. And one of the things Dr. Giles said to me was, because I, with every pregnancy, my antibodies get stronger. If I have another pregnancy loss or another baby that doesn't make it or is unhealthy, my antibodies will continue getting stronger and stronger. And I might then lose the opportunity to have another baby. So what he suggested is that exactly what was our plan anyway, was that we do IVF, we do what's called PGT testing of the embryos, make sure they're 100% healthy before putting an embryo in. And he said the less pregnancies for you, the better. And so he's like, you could put two embryos in. And I was like, oh my God.
You were like, that's my dream.
I was like, do you know I've been manifesting twins? I was like, yes, that would be a part of the plan. And he was like, yeah, I think that you should really strongly consider doing that. So that's the plan. And here's the one thing that I have been grappling with, which I didn't talk about. I forgot. It was one of the stages, is shame. I have felt shame. And what shame I have felt is, who am I to ask the universe, God, like my team of light, for more children? And I know, Sarah, this has also come up for you. Like, I have healthy, beautiful, perfect children, my dream children. I have four of them, and I have a stepson, all of which are healthy, beautiful, thriving, happy children. Who am I to ask for more? Who am I to ask for more? But at the end of the day, the heart wants what the heart wants. And I got to a place like just recently through this whole experience of just like allowing myself to sit in the truth of like, it's okay to want more children, even though you've got four already. It's okay. And it doesn't take away the pain of anyone else who's like trying to get pregnant. I was taking on all these stories of like other women who don't have any children at all. And I think I have to just bring it back to my story and my situation and my narrative and my heart. Like, what does my heart want? And if this is meant for us, beautiful. And if it's not meant for us to have any more children, I'll be okay with that. But I am looking to the future and I am thinking about like when and how we're going to do this again. And the one silver lining I think for Mark is he was a fence rider. He was like, do I want more kids? I don't know. And after that day in like Arrowhead where he took the photo of my tummy and he was just so happy, he's like said that what this experience has given him is just like confirmation that he does want to have more babies. And that's a really beautiful thing. So to anyone listening who has been through pregnancy loss or a miscarriage, or a diagnosis that's shocking to you, my heart is with you. It feels so miraculous. And we talk, Sarah and I talk about this. It feels so miraculous to be able to have children. And just the whole life cycle is just something so remarkable that it's been a really, really healing and eye-opening experience. And I've had some major spiritual growth over the past 2 weeks, and I'm truly grateful for that, finding the light in the dark feelings is always the way that I get through hard things. And this was really hard. So, and thank you, Sarah, for being my sister in all of this and being always at the end of the phone. She like tried to jump in her car and come find me the moment I told her that, you know, the baby wasn't going to make it. And I just love you. And it really takes people talking about these experiences to feel less alone. And I have to say, people like Christy Hayes, I went on and looked at her, all her interviews about losing her little baby and how she's so open about her online. One of our daisies, Amy, her and I had the same due date. We were telling each other about, we were getting all excited about our pregnancies together. Amy, she also had a pregnancy loss. And we have just been leaning on each other for support. It's just like such a beautiful community when you crack open and talk about these things and find other people going through it. And it was beautiful to talk about it in San Francisco as well. I was really open about my experiences while I was on the panel, and it was deeply healing. So
it was amazing because you were like, I had a DNC yesterday when we were on the panel.
Yes.
And I was like, pregnant. We were like, and wow, then- it was so vulnerable. Your whole, thank you for sharing all of that. Your story is so powerful, and it's full of so many surprises. And also just like for someone who is so open and beautiful the way that you are, also, you know, I remember you saying along the way, like, I'm so grateful that I have this spiritual practice because this is really hard. And like, you know, sometimes you, that soldier on mentality thing that we do, definitely that you do and you've talked about before, it's like, you know, when you have to go back on your heels a little bit and be in that vulnerable place, it's tough. You don't, you know, you said something so interesting in there, Tez, when you were talking about how you wanted to go to the other place where you didn't know anybody to get the scan. And then you wanted to go into the office, like where everybody did know you, just already having the information. And I think there's this like weird thing, and I'm calling it weird because it felt weird to me, of just like, you just like didn't, for me personally, I didn't want people to look at me. Like I didn't want to feel this sympathy because I was already like, felt like I was falling off the edge of something anyway, that it was like, if I just felt their sympathy, it was going to pull me down further into it. And so it was like so hard. And so I that resonates with me so much hearing you say that. I remember that there was this moment before you went in to get that scan when you had that knowing feeling that you did a tarot pull.
Oh, yeah. I had realized I forgot to talk about that. So do you guys remember in the episode with Sarah, she was talking about how she had started bleeding, but we didn't really know exactly what it was. It wasn't like clots or anything at that point. And I was on set and I'd been like so deep in my tarot cards. And I pulled a tarot card and it was the completion card. And the more I read into it, it was about how like a life cycle is completed. And I knew in that moment, oh my gosh, I think Sarah's going to lose this baby. And I didn't say anything to her at the time. I told her after, hey, I pulled this card. And I then pulled myself a card. Then right before the scan, I think it was the night before the scan, right when I was asking my Nana to give me a sign. And I also pulled the completion card. And that really added to my deep knowing. I was like, this life cycle has completed its journey within me.
Yeah. And there was this moment like a week before where we had, because we got to interview, it was exactly on 4/4, we got to interview Laura Lynn Jackson.
Oh my God, yes.
And we had, I don't know if we had this part in the episode.
Because I've told other people this and they're like, I remember that bit.
Okay. So we had this moment where we were talking to her about babies and Tez kind of said something about more babies, but she was pregnant and knew she was pregnant, but she didn't say anything to Laura. Do you want to tell her what she said?
Yeah. So I was pregnant at the time. I think I was like 8.5 weeks pregnant, and I was holding my tummy as I asked her, and I was like, do you see any more babies for me? And she was like, do you have 4 already? And I was like, yeah, I do. And she was like, and there are 2 on the other side. And I remember being confused. So I had the editor edit this bit out because I got really weird and awkward and kind of said, yes, there was one and another one. But the reason why I got awkward was because I'd only had 1 pregnancy loss. And so I didn't know what she was talking about, 2 on the other side. So I was like, I think what's in the episode is me just being like, uh-huh. And after I lost the baby, Sarah and I, we were talking about it, and she was like, you remember, she said, 2. There are 2 on the other side. And I was like, oh my God. And I got so weirdly thrown in that moment. And I immediately messaged Laura once you had reminded me of that. And so I messaged her, and this is what she
said. Yeah, read what she said.
This is what she said. So I was like, I got to tell you a crazy story. On the pod, you asked me, have you had 2 losses? And I'd only had 1 at the time, but I was actually pregnant. 9 weeks when we interviewed you, I was wondering if my soul baby would come through. And instead you said, have there been 2 losses? And I was thinking, that's weird. No, only 1. And then I told her my baby passed away in utero a few days later. I'm sad about it, but it feels like the spirit will return to me. It's like you already picked that up. Pretty wild. And she said, I'm so sorry for the loss of your baby in utero. I definitely think that is what I was picking up on. Often when I read, it is a circle of energy and it will include what is about to happen as if it already has. I too feel like the soul will return. I think the baby's soul felt you wanting twins and was like, hold on, let me exit and try and come back as a twin instead. I'm sending so much love. Oh, God. I was like, oh, I hope not. I hope it wasn't like, oh, my mom wants twins. I need to come back. But anyway, that was really amazing to hear that she sees things in the future like it's already happened. Anyway, that was kind of unbelievable. And then, by the way, today I was like manifesting and thinking about like my future babies. And I was like, all right, little soul, Bubba, where are you coming? Like, are you coming back? How are you coming back? And then I pulled another card and it was the peace card, which was so beautiful. And I really, that's exactly where I do feel. And the card specifically says, it talks about hardship and overcoming really challenging dark times in the recent past. And I was like, that is exactly what I went through. And now I'm sitting in this card, this place of peace. And I love that it came up when I was thinking about my future baby. So I hope that's a good sign.
It's a great sign. And you are so amazing. And I love you so much.
I love
and
you.
And I'm just so glad that you felt good and open to share all of this, because I do feel the more that we share our stories, the more healing happens and the more people feel held and less alone. And I know that as hard as it all is, as we're going through it, like that stepping into that other side, that feeling of peace is like you look back and you go like, wow, good job, body. Like, good job. You know,
totally.
Like you really went through it, and like, look where we are now. And now we get to take this perspective and step forward and move on. And anyway, you're amazing. I love you.
I love you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
And you guys have been listening to the Mother Days podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Bye.
Bye.